So we're going to look at the discovery and assessment of new target sites for anti-HIV therapies. And the problem is given by Sanjeev. So the HIV virus, which is the human immunodeficiency virus, infects cells by endocytosis and takes over parts of the cell's reaction pathways in order to reproduce itself and spread the infection. And I'll give you a little bit more detail about that in a couple of slides. So one of the pathways that it affects is the mammalian inflammatory signaling, which invokes this thing called NF-kappa-B as the principal transcription factor. And this is actually very important. It helps mediate the immune system. So a treatment against HIV could be based on blocking the NF-kappa-B pathway by a suitably designed drug. And the aim of the current project is to investigate the feasibility of this idea by using mathematical modeling of the NF-kappa-B pathway. So this is an outline of our talk. First, I'll give you some more information about the inflammatory pathway and how HIV attacks the cells. We'll look at the role of IKK in this inflammatory pathway and TNF. We'll look at a mathematical model. We'll look at the role of this, some numerical examples, an extended model, and do some fixed points and stability and outlook and further work. Okay. So this is a picture of the HIV life cycle. What happens is this is a CD4 T cell, which is the main cell of your immune system. So what happens with HIV is that it actually infects this cell, which makes your immune system become immunocompromised. So inside this HIV virion, there's reverse transcriptase and protease, and these two things help HIV actually infect the cell. So reverse transcriptase transcribes the RNA into DNA. The DNA is then incorporated into the cell nucleus. And then protease enables capsid assembly of new virions, and these new virions are then budded off of the cell. So currently, we have two different kinds of drugs that HIV patients take. There's a reverse transcriptase inhibitor and a protease inhibitor. So reverse transcriptase inhibitor actually prevents the cell from becoming infected, because after this DNA is incorporated into the nucleus, then the cell is programmed to make these new virions. But this actually prevents the cell from becoming infected. Protease inhibitor actually means that the cell only buds off non-infectious HIV virions. So it still buds virions, but these virions can't infect any more cells. The problem with current therapy is that HIV patients are developing resistance to both of these types of drugs. So we need a new drug that we can throw into HIV therapy that will actually stop this from happening and also help our patients live longer. So the thought is that we could use a new drug that has to do with this NF-kappa-B pathway. So this is a diagram of the pathway. It looks like a little man winking. Okay, so here we have these little blue things are I-kappa-B. And so first let's start here. We have NF-kappa-B. When it's in the nucleus, it binds to genes on the DNA, which then produce I-kappa-B. I-kappa-B in the nucleus then can go out into the cytoplasm of the cell, and it combines to NF-kappa-B right here, and this is a stable complex. The way for NF-kappa-B to be unbound from this IKB is using IKK, and this NF-kappa-B can't actually go into the nucleus bound to the I-kappa-B. Okay, so we need IKK to break up this complex so that NF-kappa-B can then go into the cell, and this process goes over and over again. And what's important about this NF-kappa-B pathway is that it helps cells survive, proliferate, etc. That's why they're important for the immune system or the immune response. Okay, so the thought is that we could take IKK And if we have someone who's infected with HIV, we could then, well, what HIV does is it increases IKK, so that we have more of this NF-kappa B going into the cell. When HIV DNA is incorporated into the DNA in the cell, it actually helps it, helps the cell produce HIV virion. Okay. So the thought is that we can inhibit this somehow, this IKK. So what we did is we took that previous diagram and we wrote down our reaction scheme. Where here, AC is NF-kappa B. AN is NF-kappa B in the cytoplasm. AN is NF-kappa B in the cell nucleus. BC is IKB or AI-kappa B in the cytoplasm. BN is the same in the nucleus. AB is the complex of NF-kappa B and I-kappa B complex. And then D is that pink thing, the IKK, that inhibits kappa B, it's inhibitory kappa B kinase. So we took the previous picture, we put in rates, kinetic rates, and we formed this reaction scheme. So NF-kappa B in the cytoplasm can go out and can go into the nucleus and vice versa. We have NF-kappa B in the nucleus. When it combines to the DNA, it makes IKB in the nucleus. Then what's in the nucleus can go into the cytoplasm. Then it combines to the NF-kappa B in the cytoplasm to make the complex. And if the complex sees IKK or IKK breaks up the complex, then you get NF-kappa B in the cytoplasm and IKK. So we wrote down a system of ODEs that describe this reaction scheme. One thing to note here is that NF-kappa B is at a constant level in the cell, in the complex, in the nucleus, and in the cytoplasm. So this A star is just a constant, and it's just equal to AC plus AN plus AB. So here are parameter values that came from the literature. We don't have total faith in all of these, but this is what we had to use. And what we did is we took the system of ODEs and we found our steady state. Steady state can be written in terms of AN, where AN is given by A star minus AC minus AB. This steady state has a positive unique physical fixed point for all positive parameter values. It's stable at our given parameter values. And in general, the Jacobian at the fixed point has a positive determinant, negative trace, and there are no positive real eigenvalues. So we have a little bit more faith in our model. So we took this and we solved it. And this here is looking at, this is just a numerical simulation using MATLAB of the system of ODEs. So here we started with our initial value of K5, which was on the two slides ago in our parameter values. But when HIV comes in, this value of K5 will increase because there's more stress put on the cell. And when more stress is put on the cell, more IKK can be made. So it can actually double. So we doubled the K5 here, or the IKK, which was we assumed was a constant, so we just rolled it into K5 tilde. And we got this increase. So then the idea for the drug is to be able to just take away IKK altogether so that we get this decrease in BN. And what we really want is a decrease in AC, NF-kappa B in the cytoplasm. So this is just a big blow up of that bottom right hand corner. So you can see that we've reduced it down to zero, and that's what we want, so that everything is bound in the complex so that HIV can't use it. Okay, so now I'll turn over the rest of the work to Neil.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so this diagram is an addition, so I guess we did the first part, what you've seen already in the first couple of days, and Sanji said, well, gee, let me go think about what else we need to put in this model. So, well, it was actually a model with 27 variables, so we originally thought we might start with that and break it down, but for some reason we preferred to go from the smaller model and work our way up. I'll mention that right at the end. So this part you've seen before. Now what's been added here is this purple, magenta, stuff, the IKK, comes now, we've got here in the cup two different forms. So this is the active form where it can actually break up this complex. So when it breaks up the complex, the blue gets degraded and this stuff also gets used up. It can move back and forth in this. This is degrading in the cytoplasm, and it's also being created at a constant rate in the cytoplasm. And what do we get in order, so it's this neutral form, I should say, that's being created, and in order to convert it to the active form, to be able to break down the complex, we need a signal from outside. And the signal is in form of TNF, tumor necrosis factor, and this is produced outside of the cell in response to the presence of the HIV infection. So this comes in, there's a receptor here which senses it and sends a signal in and starts this whole thing. Okay, so so the reaction scheme, the four equations here we've had before, this fifth one has now been changed. Before we just had D for the IKK, we've now broken it into, there are three kinds. There's the active IKK, which is what you need to break the complex apart. There's inactive IKK, which just degrades and doesn't appear in anything else. Then there's the neutral IKK, and that's represented here. The neutral is being converted into the active with the presence of TNF, and mainly it's going in the forward direction when there's TNF there. So I mentioned this, it's produced at a constant rate, the neutral stuff, and the D1 degrades, TNF is produced outside. Yeah. Okay, so we convert these into a system of equations. So again, the top four you've basically seen before, except now there's a change. So the K5 was this reaction of the rate constant for breaking down the complex. So before it was just K5 times AB, but now we've got included in this is the amount of DA. So we've made that more explicit here. that appears here. The K6 term, K6 was for the conversion of D0 into DA and back, so those terms appear here. And here's the constant production rate of the D0, and here's the constant degradation rate of the neutral IKK. Okay. Why is that a square? Yeah. So that square comes from here, and it turns out you need. We weren't quite sure about this. There was a paper in Science that this was based on, and said you need two molecules. It occurs in a dimer form. So we weren't sure whether to model this. Anyway, the paper also said that this wasn't affected too much by this, whether they had that or anything. So one might look at alternative to that. Yeah. We didn't really understand what was going on there, so we just stuck with that, because that was the rate constant we were provided with too. Okay. So then we did we took those six equations, did a non-dimensionalization. Here it is. Not sure how much one can absorb from this. I didn't say it is the same as what we had before. Two things that will play a role in particular is the parameter mu, which corresponds to the K6 parameter, the conversion of neutral to active, and also the lambda parameter, which corresponds to the K5, so for breaking down the complex. And those are the two things that we have in mind we might be able to control with certain drugs. So stability analysis on this. Again, a unique fixed point. This one's more complicated, but at least we can say for the given parameter values, there's a unique fixed point. Good, so model makes a physical fixed point. And also we can say that if you decrease either mu or lambda, so the K5 or the K6, the interesting rate constants, then also there's going to be a unique fixed point. There is an exact solution, which I didn't write out. It would have filled the screen and not told you an awful lot. It involves, among other things, the root of a cubic equation. The previous one, there was the AN term involved the root of a quadratic equation. And yeah, we checked also that at the given parameter values, at least, that this was stable. So simulations. So what the different colors represent different values of K6. So we held the other rate constants and parameters, everything fixed the field values, and saw what happened as K6 changed. So as K6 decreases, here K6 decreasing, moving down this way, here moving this way. So I guess this red line is the smallest value of K6 that's shown here. And this, in particular, these two were of interest. There are published graphs for these. So this is the complex in the cytoplasm, and this is the amount of NFKB broken apart from the complex in the cytoplasm. So these have been, we compared these with published work, at least they qualitatively match. The time scale isn't quite right, but it's not hugely off. Match published works. So one thing mentioned here, one thing we wanted to fight the HIV, you want to reduce the amount of free NF kappa beta, which means you want to keep it locked up in the complex. So the blue line there is, that's the maximum set. If all of the NFKB was locked inside the complex, it would be up in the blue line. So you can think of this, the higher this goes up, the less new virus is being produced by your cell. So this suggests, among other things, that increasing K6 is a reasonable thing to do. So K6 is the rate from the receptor signaling. So blocking the receptor has, among other things, has an advantage that this is now outside the cell. You don't have to get the drug inside the cell. It's targeting something on the surface, which is something that hadn't been this sort of focused attention more on that particular strategy. Oh, all right. So, where am I going here? So this thing here, can't really tell what's going on here. So the next thing, I'm just going to show you what happens as we blow this up. So expand, zoom in on the, expand the horizontal axis. So it's in scale of days here. So this just stretches it out a bit. We can see what happens. So again, the smaller values of K6 is coming down closer to the axis. Here we spread out even more. So the initial condition is AC, this NFKB in the cytoplasm equals zero. So the reaction just needs a little while to get going. Not too long, this is a minute or something. What else? Future work. 27 variable model. I confess that I, for one, did not have the strength to face a 27 variable model and try to break it down yesterday, but it is a project that one can work at. Some of the variables correspond to different varieties of the NF kappa beta, and so it's partly decouples into different problems, and maybe one can look at that and see what happens. Control model, so we looked at this as a control problem. In some sense, the control is simple. You want to drive, get as little NF kappa beta as possible operating inside the nucleus, so okay, you just want to set the K6 parameter equal to zero, and that just shuts it down. So in that sense, it's a trivial problem. What happens if you have just a little bit still going? And so it's not quite clear what to optimize, it's not quite clear what our controls are, so what possible drugs are available, one can try and look at that more from the control parameter. Also, I didn't mention lambda, this was the K5 parameter. One can also try and deal with that, possibly jointly. So it wasn't quite clear yet how to set it up. A little more biology input would help. With some sensitivity analysis, varying rates. I guess I could also mention one interesting feature is that one of the things we had that didn't really emphasize was the degradation of the the IKK, and it turns out if you don't put that in, you still have a system that works, but now it becomes a singular problem. So mathematically, that kind of puzzled us for a while, but it cleared up when we put in that degradation term, which is the physically reasonable thing to do. Okay. A few references that we used, and okay, that's it.
We have enough time for one question. Anyone? Okay, well, if I can get Sandeep to give me a few words.
Well, I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me presenting this problem and working with such a great team for the last 4 days, and just reiterate what all the other presenters have been saying. From my comments on the work done, there's basically a general comment and a specific comment. My general comment is this, that we're presently at the post-genomic era, as they keep saying, and we have now characterized 20,000 human genes. We have about 7,000 transcription factors, and of the human genome, only 3% is that for the coded portion, the proteins that make us, and nearly perhaps 8 or 10% are for transcription factors. Much of the genome we don't know much about. So we're still kind of in the age of discovery, and everybody's putting their effort into constantly characterizing, just finding out what's in our genome. But I think it's coming to the point now where we really need to understand some of the fundamental principles by which this this gene activation is working. So that's not my general comment. So even though, biochemists start to look at the specific enzyme rate kinetics and all the rest of it, all the real details of it, it makes it unfeasible to look at it at such a large scale in mathematical terms, so that's what people are just characterizing. And my specific comment arising out of that is that I think coming up with a strategy to begin to dig into this data is going to be really potentially explosive for both biology and mathematics. And so that, in that sense, I've been, it's solidified and clarified some of my own thoughts on this issue. And just starting with such an important pathway, which NF-kappa B is involved in, it has been very instructive for me the last 4 days. Now, to add another proviso, NF-kappa B is actually required for cell survival. So coming up with a strategy to make sure that HIV is killed yet not kill our own cells is also an important thing. And the thing one of the other things that just occurred to me when I was looking at the talk in its complete form was that it's good that the NF-kappa B is in its bound form. So you can basically get rid of the NF-kappa B when there's an infection and get stop the HIV replication, but once that event is over, you haven't really gotten rid of NF-kappa B. It's in its bound form. So it's ready to be reactivated for healthy cellular action. That struck me when the talk was given, and I'm going to look into that a little bit more, into developing a control strategy that will involve like an early and a late strategy to looking at drug action. So that's actually really good news that we can help the cell recover from a drug that knocks out NF-kappa B. So thank you for all your work. It's been really, really fun and really intensive, and I really hope I can do this again sometime. Thank you.
Our next problem is Maple Ridge, if they can come up, please.